were there for the proceedings and certainly glad to hear that you and your team were safe. Talk about where you were when this started to happen, this insurrection yesterday.
We are just going in and out of the Capitol itself and the chamber in groups because of COVID-19 and the virus to try and keep social distancing. So it could have been much worse because there weren't as many members in the chamber. We were going in and out. I was heading down to the chamber. I began to get alerts on my phone. We're connected to emergency alerts from the Capitol Police. And I found out suddenly that they were evacuating the Cannon building, a House office building, and people from that building were being evacuated into our building. And so I stopped going towards the Capitol, and then we had the order to shelter in place. So, you know, some pretty extraordinary messages we were getting, things that you wouldn't anticipate, even in your wildest dreams.
Could you see anything, or what were you hearing from folks who were evacuating into your building?
Where my windows were, I didn't have vantage over, you know, the plaza where people were gathering. But it's interesting. The day before, I had 2 hours to just, you know, get a little exercise. I started walking just to see what the crowds were going to be like, get in my own assessment. And as I often do, I talked to the police and asked them what preparations they had. Were they ready for the crowds? And they were quite confident at that time. I talked to D.C. police officers when I was walking, even Supreme Court police officers that are there. And they all seemed very prepared. They thought they were very prepared, but obviously that was not the case. This caught them by surprise. They did have an outer perimeter set up, and it was, you know, blocks away, yet I think they were just barriers, not fortified personnel and police. So there'll be meetings, discussions, investigations about the security factors, obviously. It failed.
When you were sheltering in place, what was that like? You know, were you just kind of sitting and waiting? What were you doing?
Well, we had the televisions on. It was a surreal scene. You know, certainly everyone was put on alert. We were given great and detailed instructions. There are security measures I can't get into publicly. It was something that they prepare us for, but actually going through something like this and seeing this attack on our democracy, attack on the Capitol, is something you see in movie scenes. Fantasy became reality yesterday, and 4 people died. 14 police officers were injured, one of them quite seriously and is hospitalized. This had real effect. It was also an attack on democracy going on inside the building before, and that was, unfortunately, some of my colleagues who were perpetuating really what was the crux motivating this effort, that the elections were fraudulent, that our government was illegitimate. We weren't leaving there till we accomplished what we started that day, which was indeed the certification of the Electoral College vote that Joe Biden will be the next president of the United States and Kamala Harris will be the vice president. Now, Donald Trump bears great responsibility for this. He orchestrated it. He had targeted this date now for some time. We had the person that was second in line of succession to the president and the person who was third in line, Speaker of the House, trapped in the building. So this was quite serious.
Does the president need to be removed from office?
The logistics of that probably are unrealistic because there's 13 days left. But the reports, I think, are very accurate of his own administrative people having discussions about the 25th Amendment, which is an amendment to remove the president that came about after John F. Kennedy's assassination in questions where they said, we have nothing in place if a president's incapacitated, but it also could be for other reasons. And the reality is a very litigious president. If that was started, he could object and he could tie that up legally, I believe, for that period and the clock runs out. Is it appropriate, in my opinion, and the opinion of majority of people I talked to yesterday, members, as well as some of his own staff, it's appropriate. And some of the messaging that came out yesterday from his former chair of Joint Chiefs of Staff, from his Secretary of Defense, the concern that was there, and on the political side, having someone like President George Bush, who has been so quiet, reserved, careful, following the tradition, his comments were quite strong.
Do you see any repercussions actually landing at the foot of President Trump or others maybe in his administration who kind of helped over the years to whip up the people that finally showed up on the Capitol steps yesterday?
Well, I think there'll be a lot of legal issues, other issues that will be confronting Donald Trump and his civilian life. But don't forget this. It may be just a short period of time, but we have an inauguration coming. Now, that's going to be quite scaled down. But what happened yesterday will give great incentive to all kinds of people who would like to use that swearing in as the point. And don't think that the security people in D.C. haven't up their game and aren't scrutinizing everything that happened yesterday and taking precautions for that. I also am in touch regularly with people around the world. I was contacted by some of those media people this morning. The themes that they saw of the United States and that capital and the breach of security and what was happening has far-reaching consequences. We already saw the Chinese government manipulating that for propaganda. We saw concern from our allies as they witnessed this. It doesn't help us project strength, and it has a tangible effect.
Right. There's going to be ripple effects from this for a long time.
There will. You know, it's already started. The way we view the presidency, the way we view the executive, this will have some far-reaching, you know, effect. But we're resilient as a country.
I just want to switch gears for a moment to talk about the fact that meanwhile in Georgia, two seats in the Senate switched and became Democratic seats. That's a big win for your party.
Well, that's far-reaching as well. There's some irony with the report that the president said he was happy they lost those seats because they weren't supportive enough to him. But this now, by bare margins, we have a united government. We have the ability, I think, to more adequately address the COVID-19 crisis and also to deal with the economic crisis, which we haven't talked much about. The stock market may have done well over this last year, but our economy is really facing a dire situation. It's made much worse because of the pandemic, and a recovery package is necessary. This will facilitate a very robust infrastructure project that we need and have needed for decades. I think it'll facilitate getting funds for things like the rebuilding of the two bridges and other major repairs. So these are things that, on the brighter side, I believe we have a better opportunity to address more effectively.
Looking toward the future there, after a day that left many Americans speechless, Congressman Bill Keating, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us. You've had a long 24 hours. I hope you're going to get some rest.
I didn't sleep yet, so all right. I'll take your advice.
Well, thanks once again.